Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Jana Ballabha Giri Padadhari. Gopi Jana Ballabha Giri Padadhari. Yasoda Nandana Praja Jana Ranjana. Yasoda Nandana Praja Jana Ranjana. Jamuna Thira Panachari. Jamuna Thira Panachari. Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jai Gopi Jana Ballabha Giri Padadhari. Gopi Jana Ballabha Giri Padadhari. Yasoda Nandana Praja Jana Ranjana. Yasoda Nandana Praja Jana Ranjana. Jamuna Tira Panachari. Jamuna Tira Panachari. Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari.
Paramhamsa-paribhraja-kacharaja astotara-sutu-sri-shrimad Esi bhakti vedanta swami shila prabhupada ki jai Jai om Vishnupad paramhamsa paribhraja kacharaja astotara sutu sri shrimad Shila bhakti siddhanta saraswati thakur prabhupada ki jai Hananti koti vaishnava brinda ki jai नामाचार्य श्रील हरिदास ठाकुर की जाय। प्रेम सिंह हो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्त वृंद की जाय। श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंद राधा कुंद गिरि गोवर्धन की जाय। श्री वृंदावन धाम की जाय। श्री नवद्वीप मायापुर धाम की जाय। श्री जगन्नाथ पुरी धाम की जाय। गंगमयी की जाय। यमुनामयी की जाय। भक्ति देवी की जाय। तुलसी देवी की जाय। समवेद भक्त वृंद की जाय। गौ प्रेमानंदी श्री सीताराम लक्ष्मण हनुमान की जाय। All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Agyanti Midandasya Gyananjana Chalakaya Chakshurun Milidam Jena Asmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadam Mayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yutha Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tham Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahakana Lalita Sri Vishakan Bithamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Kopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatadubhyascha Kripa Sindubhya Evacha Patithanam Bhavanibhyo Navebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna grateful to be among all of you. Bhaktivedanta Manor. And this very holy celebration of the appearance of Lord Sri Ramchandra. Today, by Srila Prabhupada's arrangement, is also the appearance day of Radha Shyam Sundar Krishna Balaram and Gaur Nitai in Sri Vrindavan Dham, which is quite special because for those of you who have been to the rural areas of Vrindavan, Brajbhumi, so many people are devotees of Ram. The Brijavasis really love Sri Ram. So by Prabhupada's arrangement, Radharani and Shyam Sundar appeared on Ram Navami. We were discussing yesterday about Lord Ramchandra's appearance within this world. How Maharaj Dasarath yearned for a son to take the responsibility of ruling the kingdom after him. Very interesting, because the great kings, the great rulers, had no attachment to their positions. They were simply attached to their service, for the welfare of those they were serving. Ram appeared on this day, along with Bharat, Lakshman, and Shatrughna. After an incredible sacrifice, a yajna, and pleasing all of the Brahmins, the Vaishnavas, the Rishis, and receiving unlimited blessings. Yesterday we discussed how Lord Ramchandra grew up as a child, totally enchanting the hearts of his mother, his father, all of his relatives, and literally every citizen of Ayodhya. They lived for him. He was more dear than their lives, their children, their families, their everything. Because he's the very source of life. When the gopis of Brajbhumi left their homes on that moonlit night of Sarat Purnima to Bamsivat to please Krishna, Gopinath, after thanking them for coming, Krishna sent them back to their homes. And one of the gopis' arguments as they cried tears of yearning to serve Krishna and please Krishna, they said, "You are the source of life within everyone. Without your presence in the heart, all of our relatives are simply dead corpses. Whatever we love about everyone, anyone, it's only our love for Krishna manifesting toward an infinitesimal part and parcel of Krishna." The Bhagavatam explains when we water the root of the tree, every part of the tree is naturally nourished. When we offer our love to the complete whole, the root of all existence, the all-attractive, the source of all life, the source of all beings, When we offer our love to Krishna naturally, our love extends to every living being. But without awakening that love for Krishna, then there is no real substance to our love for anyone or anything. Because it is without. It is without connection to the truth, to the essence. Sarvasya cha ham hridi shani vishtoma tasmiti rajnanam apohanam cha. Krishna is in the heart of all living beings. He's the source of remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. And if we simply sincere, want to serve him, want to love him, want to associate as the servant of the servants of the servants, then by his grace he awakens that love. And for this very purpose, the Lord descends into this world again and again. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharat. And it was on this day that Krishna appeared as Lord Ram and captured the hearts of all of the citizens of Ayodhya. We discussed yesterday how Vishwamitra Muni, he encouraged Dasarath through his own means to give his son to fight Subahu and Maricha in the forest of Siddhavan. After Ram with one arrow dispatched Maricha 800 miles away into the ocean and then dispatched Subahu to the abode of Yama, all of the great rishis and sages blessed him. They knew he was the supreme personality of Godhead. But how beautiful. The way the Lord wanted to be served is to be blessed by the sages. So they blessed him. Vishwamitra Muni then told Ram and Lakshman that he wanted to take them to Mithila, the place there was a great historic bow. And whoever could string this bow could have the hand of the most beautiful, the most wonderful goddess Sita in marriage. Vishwamitra Muni led them, Lakshman and Ram, through the forest. And they came to one place. So merciful was Vishwamitra Muni. He pointed to a stone just laying in the ground in an overgrown forest. He told Ram to put his foot on the stone. Obedient to his guru, Sri Ramchandra placed his foot on the stone. Instantly, that stone transformed into a beautiful woman, a celestial woman. She was the wife of the great Gautam Rishi, Ahalya. And Vishwamitra Muni explained what had actually happened.
Hari Hari. Thank you. He's giving me sound effects to the stone turning it on.
I'm not going to go into details on this story because it's another Leela. But somehow or other, Ahalya, who is a very, very highly realized wife of one of the greatest of all the sages, she got complicated, and got misled by Indra,
and engaged in an immoral activity. And when Gautam Rishi found out about this, in order to show mercy to his wife, he cursed her to become a piece of stone. Can't really get in any trouble as a piece of stone. She couldn't go anywhere. Usually ladies like to look nice, and now she was a piece of stone. She wasn't a carved piece of stone. She was just a stone laying on the ground. But Gautam Rishi told her, in this state, in the future, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Ram, will come. And when he places his lotus feet upon you, not only will you resume your original form, but your heart will be completely cleansed and ecstatic love will awaken. So she had full consciousness as this piece of stone in this state of incredible eagerness. Rupa Goswami tells us this is a quality to achieve Krishna's grace, Krishna's love, is an intense longing, an intense eagerness. And even in separation, when we have nothing, through the words of the great souls, we know for sure with faith that it will come. Krishna will come. This is a necessary ingredient for our spiritual progress. Our hearts may be like stone now. How many of you have this experience? And we don't feel Krishna so much. We don't see Krishna so much. That love for Krishna that we hear about, we read about, we may not be experiencing it. But the great sages, the acharyas, they tell us that it is for sure. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it was his promise. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sajja Kabunoi Sravanadi Sudhichiti Koriya Yudhoi, that love of Krishna is in the heart of every living being. Simply chanting the holy names and associating with the Lord's devotees in a service attitude, that love is awakened. It will be awakened. Srila Prabhupada told us so many times, just follow these principles, just chant the holy names, just absorb yourselves in Krishna. And Krishna will reveal himself. Ahalya, it's not that the next day everything was changed. She waited year after year after year for a very, very long time. Longer than our lifetimes, she was waiting. But she knew for sure, because her husband, her guru, told her, Ram will come. Just be totally absorbed in those feelings of separation, anticipation, in yearning and longing for Ram's lotus feet upon you. And that's how she spent her time. And the Lord came and touched her. And she was effulgent with ecstatic love and blessed. Vishwamitra Muni then took Ram to the outskirts of Mithila. How many of you have been to Mithila? Please raise your hands. It's in Nepal. Today, where this Leela we're going to speak about is called Janakpur, just above the border of Bihar. And actually, the first Ram Navami I ever celebrated was there.
I think it was many years ago. When King Janak, the king, heard about Vishwamitra Muni's arrival, he immediately came to greet him with all sorts of royal paraphernalia to receive this great rishi. And when he saw with him these royal princes of Ayodhya, Ram and Lakshman, his heart melted. He told, they had many conversations. The high priest of Mithila was telling Janak and everyone else the great history of the life of Vishwamitra Muni. And Janak, at one point, he said, we have this incredible bow. It is the bow of Shiva. He said, years ago, there was a great fight between the devas and the asuras, and Shiva used that bow. And he gave that bow to my forefathers. Generation after generation, the bow of Shiva has been worshipped. King Janak said, one day before performing a sacrifice, a yajna, along with Brahmins, I was plowing the yajna arena to prepare for it with a golden plow. And as I was plowing from the ground, beautiful baby girl manifested. Her complexion was golden and so light. She was so gentle and so sweet. I absolutely fell in love with her. Her name is Sita. She was manifested from Mother Earth. As she began to grow into a little girl, the greatest kings, the greatest princes, even demigods were fixed on having her as their wife. She was the very embodiment of all good qualities, supremely lovable. And I was wondering, Janak said, who could possibly be her wife? I mean, her husband. And one day, when she was just a small girl, she was just cleaning up around the palace. And I saw her. She was cleaning the altar where this massive bow that hundreds and hundreds of warriors cannot even lift. She was dusting around it, and effortlessly, with her tender little lotus bud fingers, she lifted the bow and dusted under it and placed it back. I happened to be watching from a distance, and I was thinking that only the person who could lift and string this bow will marry my daughter Sita. And he was thinking, actually, that only Vishnu is suitable to marry my daughter, and only Vishnu will be able to lift this bow. So as she grew a little older, all the kings and princes and demigods and rakshasas and everybody was coming. We built a whole stadium, an assembly hall, just for people to come to meet this challenge of stringing the bow. He said, nobody, there has not been a single person who could separate even a single part of the bow
from the altar it's sitting on. So heavy. All these kings, all these rishis, even the king of the Rakshasas, Ravana, he came and he struggled and strained with all of his mystic powers for hours and could not lift the bow. It came to the point where people were so frustrated because I wouldn't compromise that all these kings and all these princes, they declared war on Mithila. There were countless armies attacking us. And I had to take help from the Devas. Because fighting war takes a lot of money. My whole kingdom was, we had nothing left. We were fighting. But I would not give in and compromise. Janak looked at Ram, his heart filled with so much love. He said, I believe you are the one who was meant to me to marry Sita. Tomorrow I will show you the bow. Meanwhile, the people of Ayodhya, as Ram and Lakshman were walking down the streets, they were gathering by the thousands on balconies and on the sides of the road, enchanting by his beauty. He was so humble. He honored and respected every living being. This was one of the very, very endearing qualities of Lord Ramchandra. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught us amani na manadena. This is one of the greatest of all virtues that attract Krishna. When we offer all respect to others and not expect it for oneself. Lord Sri Ram, who came in the role of a human being, was teaching us truth, the character in which we can please him. He was honoring, respecting everyone. How he smiled upon people with such a modest demeanor was even more deeply capturing their hearts. And everyone in the kingdom of Mithila, their minds were fixed. Sita is our life, our soul. Just as everybody in Ayodhya loved Ram, everyone in Mithila loved Sita. They were praying, they were yearning, let Ram lift the bow and marry Sita. That was the talk of the kingdom, as they say. The next morning, Vishwamitra Muni took Ram to meet Janak, and he took them to the assembly hall. There, about 300 to 400 massive, strong warriors pulled this gigantic altar on wheels before the crowds. People were assembled. Many tears of watching. And in a very special place was Sita with her beloved friends and maidservants. When Sita Devi saw Ram, her eternal, infinite love awakened. A first sight of the Lord that she descended into this world to perform pastimes with. Her heart was flooding. But she looked at the bow. It was so hard. And Ram's limbs were so soft and delicate. She looked at the bow. It was so huge. And Ram seemed so small. How is it going to be possible for him to string the bow? Her heart was beating uncontrollably. Her limbs were trembling. Her eyes were tearing in expectation for Ram to take her as her wife. There was complete silence. As Janak told Ram, here is the bow. It was made out of a massive horn with all these carvings by Vishwakarma. There was gold, silver, diamonds, emeralds, rubies, sapphires, pearls. Just to look at it, it was giving out an effulgence. Janak said to Ram, please string the bow.
And Ram, he was such a humble disciple of his guru. He didn't even look so much at the bow. He just looked at his Gurudev, Vishwamitra Muni.
Is this what you want me to do? Do I have your blessings? And Vishwamitra Muni smiled at Ram and said, string the bow. Meanwhile, everybody, if he couldn't do it, they were all ready to enter fire. There was such an excitement, and Ram made it really dramatic. He just stood for quite a while and looked at the bow. Then very slowly, after taking the dust of the feet of Vishwamitra on his head, his hand, he put it around the bow. And for some time, just stood motionless. Not even a hush could be heard of the thousands and thousands of people. King Janak, his hairs were standing on end. Sita, she couldn't control her emotions. Meanwhile, Lakshman, he was just looking on like, what is this little piece of grass of a bowl for my brother? But he wasn't saying anything.
And when Ramchandra just orchestrated this leela in such a way that he had every single person, you know, on the verge of their hearts exploding, he suddenly, within a second, lifted the bow above his head. No one had ever separated it from the altar. He lifted it above his head. Then he took the string and connected it to one side, and he had to bend the bow to connect the string to the other side. He strung the bow. There was great, great cheering. Jai Shri Ram!
Jai Shri Ram!
Jai Shri Ram!
Jai Shri Ram!
And Ram, hearing that, wanted to satisfy them even more. So he took the bow above his head. Then he put one side of it on the ground. The other was in the air. And he pulled the string and pulled it and pulled it and pulled it. The bow became a circle. And then
the bow broke.
The sound and the vibration of the breaking of the bow created an earthquake. And every single person in Mithila fell unconscious. Except King Janak, Vishwamitra Muni, Lakshman, Sita, and Ram. Everyone else was laying unconscious. It was too traumatic. And when everybody came back to consciousness, Sita,
as soon as she saw Ram, she absolutely fell in love with him. From her earliest childhood, she was a devotee of Vishnu. And she prayed, I could never, ever be the wife of anyone except Vishnu. And she understood that her Lord had come. King Janak looked up at the balcony where Sita was and called her down. Sita, with her friends and her maidservants, approached Ram with a beautiful golden garland of victory. And she stood before Ram, and she looked at her father, and he said, place the garland on your new husband. And she looked at Ram's feet, and very slowly her eyes came up from his feet to his knees, to his waist, to his chest, and then their eyes, in the form of glances, united together. All the love of Sita's heart, the infinite love of Sita's heart, the source of all love for all existence, it poured through her eyes as an offering to Sri Ram as he glanced upon her. And the connection of their hearts, it was like the merging of their hearts in prem, ecstatic love. And then out of shyness, she looked back down at his feet and then looked back up at him. She placed the garland around Ram's neck. At that moment, Devas poured flowers from the heavenly planets. The whole city of Mithila rejoiced with music and dancing, and Brahmins were chanting prayers. The very moment that everyone was yearning for and longing for years had finally come for them. Maharaj Janak, seeing the joy of his daughter and the qualities of his new son-in-law, was beside himself in happiness. And Vishwamitra Muni said, we should arrange for the marriage as soon as possible. So some messengers were dispatched to Ayodhya. It took several days. They were going full speed on horses, and they told King Dasarath. And King Dasarath, he was so happy because Janak Maharaj was one of his very, very best friends, because they were both kings of such great integrity and devotion and compassion. They had everything in common. And he said to Kausalya, he said, just before Vishwamitra Muni arrived that day, we were talking about it's time for Ram to get married. This is a nice example how sometimes what appears to be reversals manifests as great blessings. Dasarath Maharaj was practically dead in anguish when Vishwamitra Muni said, I want to take him with me to fight these asuras. But because ultimately he trusted this great sage and surrendered to him, even though from his perspective it was the greatest risk he ever took, the greatest blessing came from it. And Dasarath Maharaj and so many of his family members and people of Ayodhya immediately began traveling to Mithila. And there the marriage took place. Again, it was Vishwamitra Muni's idea. He said to Janak and Dasarath, who had already met together, he said, "My thought is, Dasarath, you have three other sons. Let them all get married at the same time. Same yajna." So the arrangement was made that Lakshman was to marry Urmila, Bharat, Mandvi, and Satrughna, Shutikirti, the sisters and the cousin sisters of Sita. And it was there, this historical moment, where the wonderful marriage of Ram and Sita took place. As they were traveling back to Ayodhya with their wives, something incredible happened. There were all sorts of very, very extraordinary signs all around them. What's happening? There was darkness, there was storms, and suddenly appeared this massive rishi who looked like a warrior. And he was really angry. Who is this? It was Parasaram, the great avatar of Lord Vishnu. And he was really scary looking, because his eyes were red like coals and fury. And he looked at Ram. He said, "I have descended into this world to destroy Kshatriyas who have too much power. You are a Kshatriya. You broke the bow of Shiva. Therefore, it is my duty to kill you." Meanwhile, Dasarath is still thinking Ram just to be his little son. He was only about 16 years old at the time. And Parasaram, you know, they had been hearing from Puranas and from sages about he killed in 21 generations of Kshatriyas. Dasarath Maharaj was trembling. But Ram very respectfully honored Parasaram. Parasaram said, "I have here with me the bow of Vishnu. If you could string this, then you are fit to fight me in battle, and I will kill you. And if you can't, I will kill you for being worthless." So Ram respectfully took the bow. And he took an arrow. And he pulled the arrow and strung the bow. And as he was standing there, he was so effulgent. He lovingly looked at Parasaram. And suddenly Parasaram lost all his power. And Parasaram bowed down to Ram. He was an avatar of Vishnu. But he was told by Vishnu that when Vishnu himself appears with his full glory, then Parasaram, all of his powers will be taken away from him. And then Ram, understanding Parasaram's mood, he shot the arrow. And as soon as the arrow left the bow, Parasaram disappeared from the world. They returned to Ayodhya. Ram and Sita, living enchanted all the hearts of the citizens. There was one desire for years and years in everyone's mind. When will Ramchandra become our king? They loved Dasarath. He was a perfect king in every way. But still, they loved Ram more than their lives. They wanted to serve him. They wanted him to rule over. It was their prayer. It was their longing. It was their yearning. It was their everything.
When Ram was about 27 years old, King Dasarath actually had just sent Bharat and Shatrughna to the kingdom of their maternal grandparents and uncles. Because they needed help there. And one day Dasarath came to Vasishtha Muni, the other sages and rishis, and told him his plan, that I want to coronate Ram as the prince regent, as the coming king. And everyone was thinking, that's perfect, that's wonderful. So he consulted some astrologers. You have to be prepared for anything when you consult astrologers, even in those days. They told him, it looks like there's some very inauspicious things that are about to happen very soon. So he interpreted that he may get really sick and die. So under this circumstance, this coronation of Ram should be immediately, before anything happens to me. So with the blessings of his guru and all the Brahmins, they decide to do it the next day. And he was sending invitations to all people, but in the rush, somehow or other, Dasarath forgot to send an invitation to Bharat and Shatrughna, Ram's brothers. It wasn't intentional. When the word dispersed in Ayodhya that Ram was going to be coronated as the prince regent, what a celebration everywhere. This was so much a moment they were all waiting for. The whole town, the whole kingdom, everybody was joyful. Meanwhile, in the palace of Dasarath's favorite queen, Kaikeyi, who had a maidservant named Mantara, she could not bear the thought of somebody else's queen, the son of somebody else's queen, taking the throne. Now, Mantara, she had a hunched back. She was actually really ugly, physically. And therefore, throughout her whole life as a child and growing up, people were always making fun of her, telling jokes of her, looking at her with disdain. And that really deeply affected her. She really had one of those inferiority complexes. She was emotionally abused by the public because of her body. And she was yearning for recognition. She was yearning for power. And somehow or other, Kaikeyi, she was a very soft heart. She was one of the queens of Dasarath. She had a very soft heart. And she really felt sympathy for Mantara and made her her chief maidservant of the queen. And it awarded her so nicely and gave her so much recognition. But still, all that abuse and all that anguish of her childhood and her growing up, and even, you know, seeing how people look at her, it was still there.
and the demigods, they understand the weakness of a person. And they decided that her weakness, that envy, and that very, very frustrated ego could be used for their purpose. They wanted to expedite the killing of Ravana. So somehow or other, they influenced Mantara with intense fear and envy. And she said to Kaikeyi, she said, "My queen, my lord, lordess, do you not see the doom that is looming over you?" Kaikeyi said, "What are you talking about?" She said, "Tomorrow morning, Ram is going to be coronated as the prince regent." When Kaikeyi heard this, she was so happy. Kaikeyi loved Ram as much as she loved her own son, Bharat. She raised him just like a mother. She said, "This is wonderful news. This is what we've all been waiting for. Because, Mantara, you have given me such good news. Here," she took off a beautiful diamond necklace from her own body and gave it to Mantara. And Mantara took that diamond necklace and threw it on the ground in anger. She said, "Don't you see what's happening?" Your son is going to suffer miserably, as are you. Because Bharat is more qualified than Ram. Why is it that Dasara is having this coronation without Bharat or Shatrughna here? It is obvious. This is what will happen. He will coronate Ram. Ram, knowing that Bharat is so qualified, will banish him to the forest, or likely he will have him assassinated. And then what happens to you? You will have to be the menial maid servant of Kausalya. And what about me? Kaikeyi said, "What are you talking? Ram would never do that. Ram and Bharat, they love each other more than any people could love each other. There's no malice, there's no envy anywhere in the heart of Ram. You cannot speak these stupid things." But Mantara was so convinced. It's amazing. When you have envy in your heart, when you have arrogance, when you have fear, you could actually believe these things. She made it up in her mind, but she believed it to the core of her heart. And when somebody's convinced of something, they become convincing. She was chastising Kaikeyi again and again and again. They were having an argument. And ultimately, Kaikeyi was influenced by Mantara. Shows the power of association. Ado sadhu, ado shradatta sadhu sangota bhajanakriya. Rupa Goswami says, when there's a little faith in our heart, that faith brings us to the association of sadhus. And in that association, our faith grows. And we're willing to actually dedicate ourselves to the path of bhakti. But at the same time, when we associate with people who are envious, who have no faith, it's perhaps the most destructive thing that could happen to our devotional creeper. Mahatsevam dwaram ahurva muktes tamo dwaram yoshita sangisanga. The Srimad Bhagavatam says, by associating and render serving to the great souls, the doors to the highest liberation are opened. By associating with those who are victimized by the modes of passion and ignorance, what to speak of envy, then the doors to ignorance and bondage are open. Kaikeyi is like the Atma. The nature of the Atma is to love Ram, to love Krishna. But somehow or other, due to the wrong association, the very object of our love, we become envious of. Srila Prabhupada says, envy is the basic principle of material bondage. When we want to be the controller, the enjoyer, the proprietor, which is Krishna's position, that's the beginning of envy. That's the symptom of envy. And just as if you love Krishna, you naturally, spontaneously love every living being because mamaivam so jiva bloke jiva bhuta sanatan, everyone's part and parcel of Krishna. If we're envious of Krishna, we are potentially envious of every living entity. It's just a matter of circumstances that could bring that out, potentially. So here is Kaikeyi, who is the loving, unmotivated, devotional mother of Ram, who due to the association of an envious person became the envious, fearful enemy of Ram. And Kaikeyi said, what should I do? What should I do? Now Mantara, who was her maidservant, became like her guru. She said, don't you remember Dasarath gave you two boons long ago when you were on the battle? He was fighting in a battlefield for the Devas, and he was wounded, and he was laying, and he was about to be killed, and you took your chariot and dashed out to the battlefield and picked him up and took him to safety and nursed him to good health. And at that time he said, I will give you any two boons you desire. And you said, I will ask you sometime later. You never asked him. Not only did you ask him, you forgot all about it. But I'm telling you, you should ask for two boons. Coronate Bharat as the next prince regent and banish Ram to the forest. But you have to do it right. You have to banish him long enough so that Bharat wins the complete favor of the citizens, so that when Ram comes back, he will not be able to take the throne. 14 years. And then, sorry, Mantara told her exactly how to execute this plan. And Dasarath every night would come to spend time with Kaikeyi. But on this night, he couldn't find her. And the maidservant said, she was in the sulking room. That's what queens did these days. They had a sulking room. What is she doing in the sulking room? When Dasarath came in, her clothes were all in disarray and it was messy and it really looked sad. And she was just laying there in a completely lamentable condition. And Dasarath said, what's wrong? What's the problem with you? Tomorrow morning is joyous. I've come to give you the good news. Your beloved nephew, who you love more than your son, Ram, will become the prince regent. The whole town is celebrating. Why are you sulking? And she said, because a great calamity has come in my heart. I have no way of relieving it unless you take a vow. You take a vow to do whatever I ask of you. He was stroking her hair. He said, I'll do anything for you, Kaikeyi. You know, I've always done anything you asked. She said, "Do you vow?" He said, "If that's what you want, I vow. What do you want? I'll do anything." She said, "I want you to take this vow 3 times. He trusted her. He did it. And then she said, "Ah, you have made your vow? This is what I ask of you. Banish Ram into the forest where he has to live as a hermit wearing tree bark and matted hair for 14 years. Banish him tomorrow only and coronate my son Bharat as the prince regent." Dasarath could not believe what he was hearing. He fell to the ground unconscious. He started crying. "What have Ram ever done to you? He's loved you like his own mother." But she was relentless. Dasarath chastised her. He pleaded with her. He refused to fulfill his vow. And she said, "If you don't, then your whole race will be in ruination because you have broken your trust. You have transgressed truth." He was helpless. He was speechless. All night long he was trying to reason with her, but she was becoming more and more and more aggressive. And ultimately morning came and Dasarath was just laying, sobbing. Kaikeyi told some of her servants, "Bring Ram here." And meanwhile, the sun had risen and it was time for the coronation. And everybody was so happy. And Ram heard that his father was at Kaikeyi's house, so he came. "Where is my father? Where is my father?" He saw the throne there. He wasn't there. They led him to the sulking room. And there he saw his father. He was pale. He looked emaciated with grief. There were tracks of tears all over his face. He never, ever saw his father in such a condition. He said, "What happened? My father, I'll do anything for you. Why are you in this despondency?" And all his father could do is say is, "Oh, Ram, oh, Ram." Couldn't talk. Kaikeyi, very, very enthusiastically said, "Your father cannot tell you because he doesn't want to hurt your heart, but I will tell you. He has vowed to me that he will put Bharat as the next king, and he has vowed to banish you to the forest for 14 years. He has done this under my persuasion. He cannot speak, he will not say anything because he doesn't want to hurt you." And Ram was so gracious. He said, "My father, please be happy. That doesn't hurt me. I'll leave for the forest today. Bharat will make a great king." That was his mood. Dasarath said, "No, let me die. Let all my honor and all my truthfulness, let it all go to hell. But you must stay. I cannot live a moment without you. No one here could live a moment without you." And Ram said, "No. I must protect your honor. I will go to the forest on this day." He left his father. And meanwhile, there was a beautiful chariot that brought him there. But he just passed by the chariot and walked with bare feet. And the people of Ayodhya was thinking, "What's happening?" And little by little, the news started spreading. People were devastated. Their hearts were broken. He was walking with Lakshman. Lakshman was seething with anger.
Then Ram went to the inner residence of Kausalya, his mother. His mother had stayed up all night chanting mantras and doing pujas for the coronation of her son the next day. She was so absolutely joyful. When Ram came into her room, she jumped up with tears of joy and said, "Ram, today is the most special, auspicious, and happy day of all days. Today you will be the prince regent." And Ram said, "My mother, by the power of Kaikeyi's influence and my father's vow, today I am leaving to live as a hermit in the forest for 14 years, and Bharat will be the king. If we had a lot of time, this conversation is so deep, it's so profound, it's so moving to the heart." Kausalya, she was destroyed emotionally. She was arguing, she was pleading, she was chastising any way to somehow or other get Ram to stay home. "Do you want to kill your father? Do you want to kill me? That's what will happen. Do you want to kill every citizen of Ayodhya? Do you want to take this responsibility? You must stay home. If you leave, I will have to become the maidservant of that cruel, wicked, evil Kaikeyi. I will not stand for it." Kausalya was weeping incessantly, trembling. Her heart was broken. When Lakshman saw this, he couldn't contain his anger. He said, "With this bow, if it is necessary, I will kill my father, I will kill Kaikeyi, I will destroy all the armies of Ayodhya, but you are going to be coronated as the prince regent today. I cannot just tolerate seeing the grief of your mother." And Ram reasoned with them. He explained, "We are all eternal souls. This body and all the relationships and all the situations that come to this body are all temporary. We should never compromise Dharma for the purpose of any of the things of this world or any of the temporary relationships that we may have. It is my Dharma to protect the honor of my father and my dynasty. I will be happy. My happiness is in this Dharma. Selfless service, selfless love." This was Ram's mood. When Kausalya and Lakshman saw that there was nothing they could do to change his mind, Kausalya, as a loving mother, somehow or other, she gained her composure and said, "Ram, your decision is right. Now, please go to the forest. Perform your dharma as a son. And may you be protected on all sides. May you be blessed by the rishis, the sages. And please know that I will simply be counting every moment until these 14 years pass and you return. Now, my son, go and be happy." She said it just to encourage him, but simultaneously her heart was totally crushed. Ram touched her feet
Then he had to explain this to Sita. He went in the room and Sita was clapping. Today you're going to be coronated. And Ram said, today I'm going to the forest. She, what? He explained everything to her. She didn't try to talk him out of it. She only said one thing, that if you go, I go. And Ram said, no, you cannot go. She said, Ram, to be with you in hell will be heaven. To be without you in heaven will be like hell. To be with you, the forest will be my Ayodhya. To be without you, Ayodhya will be like the most horrible forest. I'm coming with you. It is my duty as a wife, and it is my only heart's desire. Ram said, my heart is breaking here. You say this. You are a princess. You've been brought up in palaces on soft beds with silk sheets, guarded by armies and militaries, eating the finest foods. In the forest, you will be sleeping under trees on the hard, cold ground of dry leaves. You will only be eating the roots and the herbs that we found in the ground. In the forest, all around us will be snakes and tigers and scorpions and mosquitoes and vicious man-eating rakshasas. No, Sita, you cannot come. She pleaded. She said, there will be no inconvenience. She said, I love nature. I've always, since my childhood, I've loved to be in natural places. It will be my happiness. He was explaining the deep, dark jungles, how dangerous they were. And ultimately, she said, on the day of my marriage with you, my father made a vow that I will be with you in happiness and distress, in victory and defeat, in pleasure and pain, in good fortune and misfortune. That is my dharma. Do not make my father a liar. I'm coming with you. Ram smiled and said, Sita, prepare for our journey to the forest. A few minutes later, Lakshman said, I'm coming too. Ram said, impossible. Somebody has to protect my father. Somebody has to protect your mother, Sumitra. My father is going to be absolutely brokenhearted when I leave. And he gave so many reasons. And Lakshman said, Bharat is your loving devotee. He will definitely take care of them. There is no problem. You must let me come with you. Otherwise, I will enter fire. And if you leave me here with my anger, I don't know what I'm going to do. I have followed you like a shadow at every moment of my life. My only desire is selfless service to you. And Ram smiled, and he said, I knew that you were going to come, but still I had to say, prepare for our journey. So as the three of them were about to leave, they went to say their last goodbyes to Kausalya and Dasarath. Kaikeyi was there, Sumitra was there, Vashishtha was there, they were all there. And Dasarath was still pleading to Ram not to go. And Kausalya said, let me come with you. And Ram said, somebody has to take care of our beloved father. That is your dharma.
And Ram said, it has been my vow to live like a hermit. So I will put on the clothes of tree bark. And Kaikeyi, very blissfully, she said, I've already arranged your new garments. And one of Kaikeyi's maidservants comes with three sets of tree bark clothes. And she handed it to Ram, Lakshman, and Sita and said, put these on now and go. Don't waste time. Right in front of everybody. And Ram, very respectfully, offered his honor to Kaikeyi and put on the tree bark. He took off his royal robes. Lakshman put on the tree bark. And little Sita, she looked at the tree bark and started to cry. And she tried to put it on, but she couldn't figure out how to put on tree bark. And she looked to Ram and said, I don't know how to put this on. She was really confused. And as she was trying to put on the tree bark in a very, very inefficient way, ultimately Ram started helping her put the tree bark. And she looked so confused. Seeing this was too much. At that point, Vishishtamuni, the guru for the whole dynasty, exploded and started chastising Kaikeyi. How could you stand there without saying anything? Seeing the beloved, chaste, kind-hearted, frail Sita putting on coarse tree bark to live in the jungle. Have you no heart? Such envy, such egoism, such cruelty? Kaikeyi didn't say a word. Then Ram, Lakshman, and Sita, after offering their pranams to their mothers, to their father, they departed. Sumantra, the chariot driver of Dasarath, took a chariot to bring Dasarath to the jungle. And everyone in Ayodhya decided to go to the jungle with Ram for 14 years. As the chariot was moving, there were hundreds and thousands of people in a procession following the chariot. They didn't bring anything with them either. They left their homes, they left their families, they left everything. And Ram was trying to plead with them to all turn back, but they would not turn back. They were all saying, we will make the jungle Ayodhya and you will be our king, and Kaikeyi and Bharat, they will be all alone in Ayodhya with no one to rule over. And Ram said, no, you must come back. Bharat is my brother. He's a good king. They followed. And there was a group of really old Brahmins who were trying to keep up with the chariot. Because Ram was telling Sumantra, go faster, go faster. And all the people of Ayodhya were saying, go slower, go slower. And Ram was going, go faster. And the Brahmins were saying, go slower. And Sumantra didn't know what to do. And when Ram saw these very old Brahmins with great effort trying to run to keep up with the chariot, he was thinking, I have no position to be in a higher position than these Brahmins. So he got off the chariot and walked behind the chariot among his people to offer respect. They walked all day until the evening. They came to the Tamasa River, and Ram decided we should take rest here. And Lakshman made a little bed of leaves, and Sita and Ram laid on the leaves. They all went to sleep.
the people of Ayodhya, because they were walking all day, they were really tired. So they all went to sleep. In the middle of the night, Lakshman was the only one who did not go to sleep. He was standing with his bow and arrow in hand, guarding Ram and Sita from any danger. Ram woke up, and he woke up the chariot driver, Sumantra, and he said, "Before anyone wakes up, we have to go. Because the people of Ayodhya, they will not leave me. And they're so tired, they've been walking and walking and walking. Out of sympathy for them, I feel their suffering. We should get out of their sight so that they cannot find us. Then they could go back to their homes and be comfortable." He woke up Sita. They got on the chariot. Very quietly, Sumantra went on the chariot. And by Ram's arrangement, he went in the river where it was shallow so there would be no wheel prints. Then he would come out and go one direction. Then he would go into a creek of water and go along that, and then come another direction, then go the opposite direction, then go in different directions, in all directions. There was no possibility of following the trails. And at sunrise, everyone woke up in Ayodhya. "Where is Ram? Where is Lakshman Sita?" They were searching everywhere. It was hopeless. So with tears of separation, they turned back. When they returned to their homes, some of the wives who had children who couldn't go with their husbands, they were saying, "How unfortunate you are." He said, "Of all men in the whole world, the only fortunate person is Lakshman, because he got to go with Sita and Ram into the forest. And of all women in the whole world, the only fortunate person is Sita, because she got to go with Ram to live in the forest for 14 years. They drove all day in the chariot, and they came to the bank of the Ganga, where Maharaj Guha, a Nishada, an untouchable race by the caste system, was living in the jungles. He was the king of this race, and he was a dear friend of Ram. When he heard about this banishment, he was so disturbed. He said to Ram, "I am the king of this beautiful jungle area. On this day, I give you everything. You're supposed to live in the forest. Live in my forest. You'll have thousands and thousands of people willing to do everything and everything for you, and I will be your menial servant, and we'll prepare the best of foods for you. We'll do everything for you." And he came with a whole feast of wonderful forest prasad, or bhoga, I guess, and offered to Ram. Ram said, "I've taken the vow of living as a hermit in the forest. This was Kaikeyi's wish. I cannot live in any kingdom. I can have no subjects. And I cannot eat fine food." He said, "Just give me some water. And all this feast that you've made, give it to my horses. They have worked so hard today." This was Ram's spirit. They took this luscious feast and fed it to the horses, who ate it very enthusiastically. And Ram only drank water. And if Ram only drinks water, then Sita and Lakshman are only going to drink water. The next day they crossed the Ganga into the deeper and deeper forests. And they walked and walked until they came to Prayag, the confluence of Ganga, Yamuna, Saraswati. And there was the hermitage of Bharadraj Muni. He was such a great sage, with all transcendental love and devotion and mystic powers as well. He said to Ram, stay with us among the rishis and the sages and the sadhus for 14 years. We'll be happy to live with you. Ram said, this place is too well known. The people of Ayodhya will come to harass me to come back constantly if we were here. I want to go to a completely secluded place where we could spend our time, where the citizens of Ayodhya will not find us. Bhardwaj said, I know the perfect place. 50 miles from here through the forest is a mountain, blue in color, of the name Chitrakoot. It is so beautiful. In Valmiki Ramayana, there are pages and pages of descriptions of the beauty of Chitrakoot that Bhardwaj Muni has given. He said, great Valmiki Muni lives there. It is a place of pure loving sages. Ram, Sita, and Lakshman took his leave and went to Chitrakoot. And there they visited Valmiki Muni, and they wanted to live close to him. And Lakshman, with just the wood that was laying on the ground and leaves and straw, he made a nice little two-room hut for Ram and Sita. And he lived at the doorway outside, guarding the hut. Ram and Sita were so happy in Chitrakoot. It was on the banks of the Mandakini Ganga. Atri Muni was living by with his beloved wife, Anasuya. And every day, Ram and Sita would just humbly serve the great rishis. Sita would collect flowers and give them to the rishis for their puja. She would collect fruits and herbs for Ram. One day, it was a regular thing. Sita would say to Ram, this is so peaceful, so beautiful, living in this wonderful forest with the sages. Ayodhya cannot compare to this. These are the happiest moments of my life, being with you in this forest. And Lakshman, they were enjoying immensely. I've lived with devotees of Ram when I was traveling as a sadhu before I came to Vrindavan. And for the devotees of Ram, Chitrakoot is like the Vrindavan of Ram Leela. The place of simplicity, sweetness, just living in the forest. None of the Aishwarya of great opulence and majesty like Ayodhya. Meanwhile, back in Ayodhya, Sumantra returned. And I'm running out of time. And there's still a lot left in the Ramayana. I was planning actually to go really fast through it all, but I'm sorry, I get absorbed, I guess. Sumantha returned. Ramchandra told Sumantra to return after at the point of Maharaj Guha. And when he came back to Ayodhya, he actually pleaded with Ram that let me come with you for 14 years, because if I go back and they see the chariot that left with you come back without you, that will be the crushing blow to kill everyone. But Ram sent him back. And Dasarath wanted to hear everything.
He said, Sumantra said, at one point when they were just leaving into the deep depths of the forest, Ram turned toward Ayodhya with folded hands and started to cry and said, O holy city of Ayodhya, please take care of all of your citizens. Take care of my mother and father. And in 14 years, with your blessings, I will return to you. And when Sita was getting on a boat to cross the Ganga, she offered a prayer to Mother Ganga that in 14 years, I will come back to you on my way home to Ayodhya. And she looked toward this holy city of Ayodhya. Sumantra said she looked completely disoriented, confused, and cried. When Dasarath heard this, he could not sustain his life. He was crying, Ram, Ram. Kausalya was trying to somehow or other. She chastised him, but then when she saw how he was pained, she tried to give him solace. And he told her, he told Kausalya and the others something that happened to him when he was a young man. It's an incredible story with a great lesson. But we do not have time. After telling this story, should I tell it? He said when he was young, his name was Dasarath because he was such a powerful warrior. When he was on battlefield, it looked like he was looking in all 10 directions at the same time. And he had mastered the power of archery to such an extent that he did not have to see his target. He could just hear it. If he heard an enemy, he would just, with his eyes closed, shoot an arrow and it would go right to the target. And he said he was young and he had this incredible mastery, but he was proud of it. And sometimes when you have a special gift, if you're not really careful to use it responsibly, it could be extremely dangerous and even cause our ruination. So he said one day he was hunting for wild, dangerous animals in the forest. And he heard the sound of a massive wild elephant or buffalo, something like that, drinking water from a river. And he understood exactly what it was just by the sound. Didn't see. Only heard. He heard a young human voice screaming out, why? Who has done this to me? And Dasarath thought, what did I just do? This was supposed to be a buffalo. And he ran and he ran and he ran and he came and he saw this rishi, a young rishi boy, laying with blood all over him and his arrow in his chest. Dasarath was mortified. What have I done? And the boy looked at him. He said, I will not curse you for doing this. But I ask just one thing of you. What did I do to deserve this? I'm living according to the principles of Ahimsa, worshiping the Supreme Lord, living in the jungle. I was born in the jungle. My mother and father are ascetic rishis.
And now they are very old. They are blind. They are helpless. I'm taking care of them 24 hours a day. I have come with this water pot to bring water to them because they're dying of thirst. At least do this one thing for me. Bring the water to my parents and tell them what happened so they will not be in the anguish of waiting for me. And he said, I am in such writhing pain. Please pull the arrow from my chest. Dasara pulled the arrow and the child dropped dead. In deep lamentation, he brought the water to the little hut of the blind parents. And when they heard footsteps coming, they were so happy. They said, my son, we have finally come. We are so thirsty for the water. Please give us the water. We cannot live a moment without you. And Dasarath, can you imagine how difficult it was to tell them what happened? They said, bring us to the body of our son. He brought them. They said mantras, they were weeping, they were crying. They asked Dasarath to make a funeral pyre for him. As the son's body was in flames, the mother and the father said, we cannot live without him. And then they entered the flames. But just before entering, they said to Dasarath, we are not cursing you because you are innocent. You did not mean harm. But still, the sin of this karma is on you. And for your sake, so that you don't have to live your next life with this sin upon you, we proclaim this curse for your benefit. That just as we are dying in separation from our son, you will die in the heartbreak and separation of your son. Then they enter the flame. Dasarath Maharaj said, I have never told anyone. But now it has come. I cannot live without Ram. Hearing of him and Sita living in the jungle in tree bark with matted hair, I cannot live. And with the words, O Sita, O Lakshman, O Ram, King Dasarath gave up his life. Now there was no king. Vasishtha Muni sent messengers to bring Bharat immediately. Don't tell him what happened. Just tell him there's an emergency. You have to come back. So he and Shatrughna came on their chariots. And they are so eager. What is the emergency? There must be something very special happening. When they came to the outskirts of Ayodhya, they saw so many inauspicious omens. When they came into the town, nobody would look at them. Everyone was crying. Everyone was despondent. No one was saying any words to each other. They were just looking at the ground in a daze of agony. What's happening? Nobody cleaned their houses. Nobody cleaned the temples. Even the deities in the temples looked like they were crying. And when they asked, what happened? What's happening here? Nobody would even look at them to answer. They went to their mother's house. Where is my father? He's always here to greet me. He came before Kaikeyi, and she jumped up really joyful. She said, oh, my son. And she asked him, how is my relatives, and how is your trip, and how is your health, and all that motherly stuff. He said, well, why is my father not here? And where is my beloved Ram and Lakshman? They always greet me when I come home after a long trip. And why does everyone look so miserable? And Kaikeyi, just as a matter of fact, she thought that her son was going to be so happy and so proud of her. She said, "Your father's dead." "What? My father's dead? What happened?" She said, "For your sake, Bharat, for your pleasure, I have orchestrated everything." She was so happy. She said, "I convinced your father to banish Ram to the forest for 14 years. Sita and Lakshman went with him. And you are going to be the king of the world. Now that your father's dead, you will directly be coronated as the king. See what I have done for you." Bharat was horrified. What? He fell to the ground. He couldn't believe what he was hearing. He said, "You evil, envious, arrogant, cruel woman. You think I'm going to be happy that because of you, my father is dead?" What were his last words? She said, "In separation, he cried, 'O Ram, O Lakshman, O Sita, O Ram,' and died." Bharat was so furious. He said, "I reject you as my mother. I am the most condemned man in this whole world for having been born from your sinful womb. I will never allow your cruel planning to fructify. I will go to the forest and I will take 14 years in exile and bring back Ram to be the king. But your evil intentions will never come to be." He was really angry. He rejected her and walked out. He went right to the palace of Kausalya. He could imagine how she must be suffering. Kausalya, she heard the loud shouting of Bharat and she wanted to talk to him. And she was coming down the corridor and she saw Bharat and she said, "Bharat, my dear son," she said, "your mother has very expertly fulfilled your desire to take the throne. But now I'm without my husband. I'm without my son. I have no reason to live. But now your desire is fulfilled. Enjoy the throne." And she fell unconscious. Bharat fell unconscious with her. He lifted her up and explained to Kausalya that he knew nothing about it, and told her his plan to go to the forest to bring Ram back. Kausalya embraced him. She said, "In my heart of heart, I know your faithfulness and your love to Ram. I beg forgiveness that I have spoken like this." Wherever Bharat went, everyone thought it was his plan. He was totally misunderstood. He performed the last rites for his father, and after performing the last rites and the 14 days of mourning, Vasishtha Muni said, "Ayodhya is without a king. We must coronate you immediately." And Vasishtha Muni said, "It was your plan. Your mother executed it expertly. Now take the throne." This broke the heart of Bharat so severely. His guru is thinking this way. He said, let us take all the paraphernalia for the coronation of Ram and let us go to the forest and coronate him the king, bring him back, and I will remain in the forest. Vashishtha Muni, all the rishis, sages, Brahmins, and every citizen of Ayodhya agreed with it. At one point, they were coming back to the palace, and Mantara, she was wearing the most exquisite garments and jewelry and gold and silver and rubies and diamonds. And she looked, now she was the main maidservant of the undisputed queen. And Satrughna happened to see her and grabbed her by the hair and threw her to the ground and started dragging her here and there and throwing her and hit her. And she was screaming in complete agony. And Kaikeyi cried out for Bharat, please, please, please stop him from killing her. And Bharat said to Satrughna, she's a woman. She cannot be punished like this. He said, it will not be pleasing to Ram. If I didn't think that this would displease Ram, I would have already killed my own mother. But Ram would not approve. Anyways, there was a wonderful arrangement by Bharat that roads were cleared, and they were going to take all the principal people of Ayodhya to the forest to meet Ram. Sumantra told them the way they went when they were approaching Maharaj Guha got his armies together. He said, Bharat, his intention is obvious. He knows that after 14 years, Ram is going to take the kingdom, so he's coming with all the armies of Ayodhya to defenseless Ram, who's just alone with his brother, to kill him in the forest so that there will be no fear that he could ever come back. Guha respectfully honored Bharat in form. But then in a very humble way, he said, he expressed his fear. Why are you going with armies to Ram? Do you want to kill him so he can't come back? Poor Bharat. He was in more pain of separation than anyone and everyone else. Ultimately, they came to the hermitage of Bhardraj Muni, and Bhardraj Muni said the same thing. You are going to harm Ram and you're asking me where he is? When he explained, Bhardraj Muni said, actually, I already knew. And ultimately, they started going to Chitrakoot, and it's almost time to end. But this is the best part. Should I continue? Ram, Lakshman, and Sita are just living the most sweet, beautiful, happy days of their life in the Chitrakoot forest. How many of you have been to Chitrakoot? I would love to take all of you there. It is so beautiful. It's one of the... I haven't been there in a few years, but last I was there, it's one of the few really holy places of India that haven't been highly populated and commercialized on the external sensual platform. Simple forest. And everyone does parikrama of Chitrakoot Hill. Only takes a couple hours. And there's a beautiful river, the Mandakini Ganga, surrounded by forests. And sages and rishis are still there. It's a beautiful place. So Ram and Lakshman and Sita, they would go and serve Valmiki Muni and serve the other yogis and sages and walk through the forests. It was just forest life. But one day they heard all this rattling of chariots and sounds of elephants and horses. What's happening? This is Chitrakoot was a very private place, away from everything. And Lakshman climbed a tree to the top of this tree and looked down. And he saw a massive army approaching. And Ram was under the tree, and Lakshman was saying what he was seeing. He said, "You know what I see? I see a chariot with the flag of Bharat. He's come to kill you so you cannot come back after 14 years. Lakshman was so angry. His eyes looked like they were about to burn the universe. He's Balaram. He took his bow and arrow and he said, "On this very day, I am going to soak the blood of Mother Earth with Bharat, with Shatrughna, with our evil father Dasarath, and with the entire armies of Ayodhya. If anyone stands before me, they will be slain." And Ram said, "Never speak like that again." He said, "Lakshman, don't you understand that Bharat loves me every bit as much as you? He is as faithful and loyal to me as you. He's coming to beg me to return. Why have you said these offensive things against him?" And Lakshman became very humble and started to cry. He said, "I'm sorry, actually, I know that, but still it's..." And Ram said, "I know that you know that, and I'm sorry I said what I said." This is the way the Lord has leelas with himself. And Bharat told the devotees that, "Let me go ahead with Vasishta and a few others to search for Ram." And he went ahead. All the rest of the people were kept behind. And he went through some forest and came to Chitrakoot Mountain. And there he saw a little cottage. And in front of the cottage was a little sacred fire. Because in Treta Yuga, the Yuga Dharma was Yajna. And there he saw Ram and Sita sitting. And Lakshman was standing beside them. Bharat saw that they had matted hair, wearing tree bark, sitting on leaves. His heart cracked open. He ran forward. And Ram saw him coming. Ram stood up to receive him. They embraced. Now, if you go to Chitrakoot, one of the holiest of all holy places for the devotees of Ram is this very spot, where Bharat and Ram embraced in such love. It was sambhog, it was union after such intense emotional separation, vipralamba, that when they embraced at that point, the stones that they were standing on melted. And even today, the footprints of Bharat and the footprints of Ram facing each other are still there as a testimony to this pastime of love. Shatrughna and Lakshman embraced as brothers, and their footprints are in the stone. And when Kaushalya saw her beloved daughter-in-law Sita, they embraced, and their footprints facing each other are still in the stones. Soon all the people of Ayodhya who came were gathered together in a big circle to watch this conversation. And Bharat told, Ram asked, where is our beloved father, Dasarath? Bharat told what happened. Ram wept uncontrollably, hearing of the loss of his father. It's interesting. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, asocha anandvasochastvam, that you should not lament for the living or the dead. So why the speaker of the Gita, Krishna, in the form of Ram, is crying when his father dies uncontrollably? And he was speaking so many words of love and separation for his father. Now, I will never have you petting my head and putting me on your lap, and you will never embrace me and chastise me when I do something wrong and encourage me when I do something right. I will not hear those sweet words. I will not feel your embraces. How will I live? And crying. He went to the Mandakini Ganga and performed the last rites for his father with the water. It's not a good time to end. Anyways, what can I do? Anyways, Bharat tried to convince Ram to come back to Ayodhya, and Ram is coming at this very moment. Shri Ram Chandra Bhagavan ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Shri Radha Gokulananda ki jai, Gopremanandi.